Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our end of the month Brooklyn real estate news recap episode, where we look at the top stories in Brooklyn real estate from the past month. And here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Yes, well, welcome everyone to Howe's New York. And as Jason, our producer, mentioned, tonight is our recap of what happened in Brooklyn real estate for the month of September 2016, and once again, Jason has scoured the internet looking for the most interesting articles about all the good things that are occurring in Brooklyn real estate. So why don't we begin, Jason, to let's talk a little bit about what you found happening in the month of September.
Well, the overall theme of this recap could be neighborhoods. Neighborhoods dominate the top stories that we found as we head into fall. But, oddly enough, the first story we're going to talk about is not about neighborhoods. It comes from The Real Deal. And the headline reads, NYC Real Estate is Becoming a Meritocracy. And the story kind of talks about how the real estate industry, which used to be something that was maybe a little bit more exclusive or family-oriented, maybe there was some barriers to entry, has now, I think, kind of opened up, especially in New York.
Yes, you know, especially, needless to say, not to bring in yet another Trump concept, but right, even with today's political debate, you might say the Trump family was a dynasty in a sense, and family business, and probably controlled a lot of what went on in real estate in New York City. But as this developer is saying, there are opportunities opening up under this term meritocracy, and meritocracy is part merit and part democracy put together, and if you deserve it, you should get it, and I think that's the American way. But maybe some of the things that, well, what do you think are some of the things that may have led up to, you know, allowing a broader group of developers into the New York City real estate? Well, what are some of the things that have gone on maybe that have caused this? One, I think, may be the unlimited potential of real estate opportunities. Maybe 50 years ago, Manhattan was the center of the universe, and the developers focused on making large skyscrapers. Maybe a few, like the Trumps did, you know, focused on housing development in the Queens and in Brooklyn. But beyond that, I don't know if too many people would have taken a chance doing anything out of the ordinary in terms of development. So I think the number of spot of areas that have opened up for potential development. I think there's also an idea of thinking out of the box, of using you know, different spaces and different properties for different uses. And, you know, we see that with the repurposing of warehouses into, you know, commercial space, you know, for these think tanks and, you know, startups. And I don't know, maybe just the overall boom in New York City, where it's, if you have a pretty good concept and pretty good backing, it's kind of hard to fail if you come up with a new unique idea. I don't know what your thoughts are on this meritocracy issue.
Well, if there's been a shift, as these pros are saying, one of the reasons that I think can be attributed to that shift, and we've kind of touched on it recently, and it's going to be the subject of an upcoming show, is the internet. One of the folks referenced in this article, Michael Stern from, I think it's JDS Development Group, mentions that the internet has made the information more widely available. So whether you're a consumer or a professional, I think the internet has kind of leveled the playing field. And as it has with many industries, it has probably opened up the door for people who might not have had a tremendous network that they had in a Rolodex at one time. Or tremendous resources for information to tap into. It really has made it a more accessible way to kind of enter a given field in an industry, and it seems like it is also topical now because we're almost on the eve of seeding the U.S.'s control or dominion over the internet. The internet really does play, as we will see in a future episode, a huge role in the real estate industry.
You know, it brings disparate parts of the world together, and people now see what's going on in other countries, other areas of our country. And certainly widens one's eyes as to the possibilities of things that can be rather than just the things that are.
And with that, we're going to move on to our next story, which is the first of several stories that kind of touch on neighborhoods. And it's kind of probably a seasonal thing, which as we do in the beginning of the year, we look to ahead for, you know, the entire year forecast, and then we hit summer or spring. Spring is usually when all the homes come up for sale, and then summer is when everything kind of heats up, and now we're into fall, and there's another shift in the stories that we're seeing. And this time it's focusing on neighborhoods, up-and-coming neighborhoods, best neighborhoods, hot neighborhoods. This story is from ThrillList.com, and it talks about the great Brooklyn neighborhoods where you can still find a one-bedroom apartment under $2,500. So this is, deals more with rentals, but it does spotlight neighborhoods that, you know, have their upsides, their up-and-coming neighborhoods, their draws. So I thought it was interesting to see the neighborhoods that they've pegged as places where you could still find a nice place to live and still enjoy the environment. I thought it was an interesting list. The one thing that I will say that jumped out at me was the Sheepshead Bay inclusion with its commute, because I think 45-minute commute from Sheepshead Bay is probably pretty ambitious.
Yes, unless you're right next to the subway, which I don't know if there's a subway that which is a subway that goes out there, one stop. But you're right; it is a bit ambitious. But still, it makes for an interesting article. I think some of I don't know where they found these rents or what the apartments look like, but I thought they were maybe a touch on the low side, if anything, in some of these, you know, neighborhoods. $2,300 in a Clinton Hill, Bed-Stuy, $1,800 or $1,900. I don't know if they may be cherry picking here rather than giving the median income. It's certainly, I think I think it points out that the real estate, the rental market is still strong no matter, you know, where you go. And the article more is about cherry picking a rent here or there. But I dare say that probably the average rents are a touch higher than they lead you to believe in this article.
I also think the media outlet itself should be considered, because Thrillist is typically a site that tries to drive traffic to entertainment, eateries, bars in the city, things to do, almost like the Time Out New York magazine does, but this is just the internet, the online version of it. And I think they kind of try to use, they tell you the best places to eat, the bar and restaurant scene is really a big portion of the factors that they weigh their choices for neighborhoods on. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that they're trying to maybe get in on or jump on the bandwagon of Brooklyn real estate stories and try and get noticed. For our purposes, they did, with a story on Brooklyn real estate and Brooklyn neighborhoods.
That they did, and as you point out, it's I think it's an article meant to grab your attention and then drive you to the various bars and restaurants that they highlight. There was even one in Ditmas Park, maybe, that they said there was a bar in the back of a florist shop. The Sycamore Bar, so that would get my interest more than the $1,700 one bedroom that they're advertising. But it is a pretty interesting way to combine a little real estate, a little what are some of the trendy restaurants and bars in a community.
So if you're a foodie and you want to save on exorbitant rent, just use this list to visit these areas and hit the restaurants and the bars for.
Yes, and look and see if that apartment is really available still and what it looks like. But it was still a pretty fun article.
Well, our next article comes from DNAinfo.com, and it also starts looking at neighborhoods, and it's the fall real estate watch of six neighborhoods to keep on your radar. And while this article does offer neighborhoods from New York, not just Brooklyn, two of the six are Brooklyn neighborhoods. The downtown Brooklyn area for its rental space, rental inventory, and the Gowanus as an up-and-coming area, as we've kind of touched on before. We've mentioned that, you know, that the Gowanus, especially for developers, looks like a place that they might want to start staking their claim and building up as it gains more and more attention. So another,
you know, and also what happens with Gowanus, I mention this every time we mention the Gowanus on our wonderful neighborhood, great you know, architecture, great type of building, but it is still a Superfund site, and most people run away from Superfund sites. They don't run to Superfund sites, but for some reason, people, that's not really, you know, bothering people. Downtown Brooklyn, of course, is still, I think there's a building that pops up there, you know, once a week, and the rental inventory, I'm sure, is getting a little, you know, the inventory is getting, you know, pretty large, probably, you know, steadying the rents a little bit. But downtown Brooklyn, as you come down Fourth Avenue, it always seems on the horizon there's a new skyscraper, that's a rental skyscraper that has popped up down there, in, you know, no small part thanks to you know, Barclays and the you know, all the hoopla that's surrounding, you know, that developmental area.
And interestingly enough, the area was amazingly, during the Revolutionary times, site of a Revolutionary War battle. And I wonder if you were to compare the Gowanus Canal area today versus the battlefield right after that battle, what would be a more desirable aesthetic for that for that piece of area.
You know, the picture that they show too of the Gowanus is is not very flattering, but
not enticing.
No, the downtown Brooklyn scene, the skyscraper scene, is much more dramatic.
But also, if you're looking at the picture, it looks a lot nicer in the picture than it does when you're driving right beneath the BQE, right in that area.
Yes, I actually had occasion to go over the 9th Street Bridge this morning, and, you know, they were building like crazy on either side, and yet the water did not look all that clean, but nonetheless, it was water, and water is a big attraction, you know, in for real estate people.
It is. Just how much of it is actually water, well, I guess we'll have to leave up to science.
Yes.
Our next story, just an interesting little aside from the neighborhood. We're going to get back to the neighborhoods in our final story, but from technically, Brooklyn, comes a story about a recent Brooklyn Innovation Summit, which kind of references a running topic that we've been talking about probably for the past year on the show, and is the growing influx of tech companies, tech businesses, startups, big box businesses, you name it, tech professionals, into Brooklyn, into downtown Brooklyn. And recently, yesterday, there was a summit for the industry in Brooklyn to kind of discuss all things tech.
Yes, that is interesting. I guess a natural, you know, outgrowth of tech-type employees, tech-type businesses. Sooner or later, they would have to have a sort of a summit, and who knows? You know, they do South by Southwest. Maybe this could. We have to think of a cute name for this tech summit. But there's certainly a lot of technical stuff going on in Brooklyn, and it's interesting to see that this came together. You know, somewhat like, you know, food shows have come together in Brooklyn. all the tech folks have come together and started a what's probably the first of many conventions.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. It does reaffirm the it kind of cements the story that we've been talking about the just the heat index for this type of industry in this area and the inventory, both commercial for the business's space and residential for the people who are going to be living and working in this industry in downtown Brooklyn. It kind of reaffirms that this is not going anywhere. If anything, it's probably going to just ramp up and continue to grow. And our last story, again, focuses on a neighborhood. It comes from Metro New York, and it discusses the proposed Red Hook development plant and the proposals to reinvent Red Hook have been met with some controversy, according to the article.
Yes, well, it was a sleepy, rather funky, quiet neighborhood with a character all of its own, although probably one of the best spots in the city to view the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm seeing too far. The Statue of Liberty, Lower Manhattan, most of the harbor, where I think the Queen Mary docks also down there. You know, there's a cruise line down there. And, the thing that always kept it from developing was there was not much rail transportation into that area. And to some people, that suited them just fine. They didn't need to be off the L train. They were happy to, be off a bus line somewhere. But now it turns out that some developers are talking about gigantic development, and in order to usher that in, they're also talking about putting rail lines in there. So what is your thought about all of this, Jason?
To me, just knowing the area, and it just sounds like a project like that would probably, I wouldn't say cripple the area, but I mean to do that type of renovation and that type of upheaval, it could really. I know we've been talking about the impact of the subway repairs to Brooklyn, and something like this to me, especially if it's going to be concurrent with that. I mean, when you factor in all the additional infrastructure that's being the repairs being done to the bridges and to the roads, it just seems like they're hearkening back to a day when we had to get around by horseback. Because I don't know, I can't imagine people being able to get from point A to point B with all that going on, especially if you're going to be trying to add subway service to an area that doesn't have it. That's a pretty heavy undertaking.
Right, and the light rail that Mayor de Blasio was proposing, I don't think is going to fit the bill there. And don't forget, Red Hook also still has a lot of active industry going on in there. They also have IKEA. They have huge areas of parkland. They have public housing on one side of it. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I think probably this is more one of those stories that surface once every 2 years, that there's going to be a big development, and They're just kind of gauging how the community will feel about it. Needless to say, the community down there is not for it. But
yeah.
You know, they sort of like their sleepy town type of arrangement.
Yeah, and it does, and it is also a destination. There are people, you know, who visit Brooklyn. It's a hot spot for people to visit because of the shops maybe on Atlantic Avenue, or the tremendous amount of small eateries and places that have tremendous notoriety all over the country, and for people when they visit the area who want to sample the fare from that area. And it is a kind of a little sleepy hamlet of a location, even given the amount of increased foot traffic and car traffic that comes through there now. Like you mentioned, the cruise ship comes in and docks there. So that amount of people coming in, I shudder to think of what would happen if they also added trying to put a subway line there. Especially when I think back to years ago when they resisted extending a subway line to put the football stadium in Manhattan down by Battery Park City. So I can't imagine dropping an entirely new subway where the one doesn't exist.
Are we coming near the end as
the clock on the wall tells us
that
we've reached the end of another episode?
Yes, we've spent another very prosperous, profitable 30 minutes talking about Brooklyn real estate. You took us from Red Hook, grand plans in Red Hook, to affordable rentals throughout the various Brooklyn neighborhoods, to tech conventions that are now being held, and this meritocracy idea that if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, or if you want to make it here, you can make it here. And I think that's the theme of our show tonight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And with that, why don't you wrap it up and take us out, Bob?
Well, thank you once again, Jason, for scouring the internet of various publications and periodicals for finding all the best things that happen in Brooklyn real estate for the month of September 2016. This is Howes New York saying God bless Brooklyn, all of its people, wishing you a good night, a good morning, and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge.